is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
I sent American troops to Iraq to defend our security, not to stay as an occupying power. I sent American troops to Iraq to make its people free, not to make them American.
President Bush speaking at the U.S. Army War College on Monday. Mr. Bush laid out a 5-point plan to transfer political power to a caretaker government in Iraq on June 30th. It was the first in a series of speeches that President Bush will give on the transition. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And, of course, there's the news this morning that the Iraqi Governing Council has nominated a new prime minister, Ayad Alawi.
Mm-hmm.
And Monday, United Nations envoy Lakhdar Brahimi is expected to announce the final slate of names.
Mm-hmm.
First off, what do we know about Mr. Alawi?
Well, Mr. Alawi, Dr. Alawi, he's a Shiite. He's a physician. He's a neurologist. He was in exile from Iraq for some 30 years, maintained a solid connection with the CIA, was involved in an unsuccessful plot to topple Saddam Hussein. And what he did in the past couple of days was apparently to perform an end run about the UN envoy, Lakhdar Brahimi, in order to get the American-appointed governing council to rally behind him. And that's how he got to be interim prime minister.
Mm-hmm. He was a Ba'athist Party member, I guess, who fled Iraq some time ago.
He was a Ba'athist Party member, but not considered to be one that had to be purged.
Yeah. Let me get back a bit to President Bush's speech, because he suggested specifically raising the Abu Ghraib prison.
Yes.
If that was desired by Iraqis who would take over the government. But the speech was criticized.
Well, the question is whether it was desired by them. That's a big question.
The speech, of course, was criticized for being all outline and relatively few details.
Yes. The trouble is that the administration so lagged in designing a post-invasion strategy that in the end they end up playing a lot of this by ear and some of it by tin ear. As, for example, you mentioned the idea of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the president with the politics of gesture. We're going to not tear down that prison, mm-hmm. as President Reagan was going to tear down the wall. We'll tear down the prison. And then we hear from Baghdad, what do you mean you're going to tear down the prison? This is an Iraqi prison. It's a perfectly good building that was used for bad purposes. We might want to use that prison. And so even in the course of trying to make gestures to his sovereignty. He says they will have complete sovereignty, the president said yesterday. But in the course of making those gestures, it always sort of comes out as something goes a little bit awry.
Mm-hmm. Does the pledge for complete sovereignty represent a kind of reversal of policy over the past week?
No, it doesn't. It just represents a reversal in the use of words. The United States clearly is going to keep complete control over American forces there. What do you think happens if there's an attack on American troops in Iraq? Do you think that they go to the interim government and say, hey, they attacked us, mm-hmm. can we attack back, please? Or do you think that if attacked or if they feel it necessary, that the military will do what the military has to do?
What do you make of how Iraq seems to be affecting the U.S. presidential election?
This is interesting. First of all, we got the fact that Senator Kerry, who has not been talking much about Iraq, has started talking about it, I think because he begins to see that maybe it is an asset. The fact is that while President Bush's overall approval ratings in the latest ABC Washington Post poll is at a record low of 47%, especially low is his record for the management of the Iraq war. So the interesting thing is that his poll numbers are down. He's neck and neck with Senator Kerry if they match them in a two-person race and all of it. And two things begin to happen. Senator Kerry starts talking about Iraq, which he hadn't been very much, and what else? And the Bush administration is looking for ways to accentuate the president as the leader against a terrorist threat.
Mm-hmm. Well, this, of course, raises... There seemed to be a split this week between Attorney General Ashcroft, who said there's an increased terrorist... And Tom Ridge, head of the Office of Homeland Security, who said, well, this really represents nothing new. Now, they subsequently have said there's no disagreement. But yes. What do you make of that 24 hours where it was difficult to tell the difference?
Well, if you'll allow me to just speculate a little bit. The Ashcroft-Miller announcements apparently surprised Tom Ridge, who was supposed to be with his 180,000 employees. He's supposed to be the one who sees the threats, and he's the one who's supposed to issue the alerts. And in this case, he's rather discounted the alert and said, well, he wasn't just so sure that it was it required changing the color code or anything else. But very clearly, the administration wanted a terrorist alert at this point, and if they couldn't get it from Ridge, they got it from their attorney general.
Dan, I want to leave some time for this. World War II Memorial opens this week, the conflict that killed more than 50 million people, spread across almost every continent, put the word Holocaust into our lexicon.
Yes.
And our history. You are, we might say, among the decorated veterans who have a right to feel honored this weekend.
Decorated.
All right, so I don't mean like a Christmas tree.
So let me tell you about my decorations. First mm-hmm. of all, I must tell you, I feel rather humble as one of 16.4 million Americans who served, and I did nothing very heroic, and there are now only about 5 million of us left, a real very big band of brothers.
Mm-hmm. You were in Texas, and Texas was just fine.
First I was in Kansas, and then I was in Louisiana, and then, yes, I was in Texas. And in Texas, I served as a sergeant, the highest rank I achieved. Mm-hmm. I served as a sergeant in the intelligence section of an Army headquarters. And for all I could try to do to go to cover the war for Yank over Stars and Stripes, you volunteer for something, you don't get it. And so I stayed there. And when people ask me sometimes, what did you do during the war, Grandpa? What did I do during the war? I washed an awful lot of dishes. And did you get any decorations for all the things you did? Yeah. I said, I won 2 decorations. Uh-huh. One was the American Theater Ribbon, mm-hmm. which you get for being in the American Theater, which perforce I was.
I didn't know you were on the stage. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Right, and the other one I got was the Good Conduct Medal. And when I asked people, what do you get the Good Conduct Medal for? They said, one of them said, I think it is if you go for a full year without getting any venereal disease.
Well, I must say there's some people who would find it hard to believe you'd get any kind of Good Conduct Medal. But now that you explain the circumstances.
But the real medal I got was to learn a whole different group of Americans. The kind who I, as a middle class, didn't have a lot of truck with before. I learned, for example, I had been a light sleeper. Mm-hmm. I learned I could sleep no matter how much noise and no matter whether the lights were on or not. I learned that there were a lot of Americans who helped me. One of them became a very good friend of mine because when he and I were on kitchen police duty washing dishes, he helped wash some of my dishes because I wasn't good at washing dishes. No decoration there.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.